This is a Global Player original podcast.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Welcome to the 4 till 7 thing podcast. Looks like Sunna Temple's over there.
Hi.
How are you, little Suns?
I'm fabulous.
Hey, Big Gav Woods is there. You right, Big Gav?
Mind the gap.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
I love saying that.
Absolutely wonderful. And hi, Harry, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, thanks, John.
Okay, Harry, Sunta, Gav, Big Si is in charge, yeah? Mm. He's put this puppy together in the absence of little Si. And here's what he says is in the podcast for this week.
Right.
Firstly, we work out what to do with my old pants, which I really regret chucking them out now. Do you know why?
Why?
Sorry, I chucked out all my old pants because I got in new pants.
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
New pants, new attitude.
New energy.
New pants, new energy. Thank you. Uh-huh. And instantly, I realised they're perfect. So I've got a bit of silver and brass I need polishing.
Oh man, and they're cotton pants.
Just perfect.
You throw away good rags. Great rags.
Unbelievable, right?
Yeah, cotton.
That is annoying.
Idiot.
And it doesn't scratch.
Idiot.
It doesn't scratch.
Stupido.
Yeah.
Stupido.
Stupido. Stupido. Stupido. Also, you tell us how you genetically modified chickens to make them more useful.
Right.
That was great radio.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got lots more of your long-running disputes. Enjoy the podcast.
Radio X.
Hey, do you know what it was for me?
What?
A weekend of half-assed projects.
Why?
Because I was just half-assed about stuff.
Really?
Because the first half of jobs is really easy. Why isn't the second half of jobs made of the same thing?
Yeah, right.
I think it's made of the same thing, but you've changed. Your interest in it has diminished.
Has waned halfway through the gig.
I think also sometimes the second half, at the end of the second half of the job, there's a tidy up element.
Yes.
The first half of the job definitely involves making a mess.
Definitely.
Just by doing a job.
Yeah.
You make the mess. So I meant to be putting all CDs and things in plastic containers that I bought from one of those shops that, you know, the shops that are quite small, but I've got the entire contents of a B&Q in there.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And you go in there, you think, right, I'm going to really sort them out today. Wait for this.
Yeah,
I'd like a garden chair set, self-assembly. Go, just go in the back freezer.
Yeah, they just thinking, point it
no,
out.
No, you cannot have that here.
I've got everything.
This is an ironmongers. Anyway, so I started off doing that, and I just couldn't be asked to finish it.
So was it a job that got boring?
Because I was just meant to sort out CDs, and so and Vanessa's already emptied the CDs out the drawers they're in, which leaves them on the floor, and it was a floor job.
So were you sorting out which ones to keep and which ones to throw?
Yes.
Right.
And then you start thinking, oh, you can all go, I don't play any anyway. I hate you.
I don't know why I keep them. I don't know why I bother to keep them. I never put a CD. We don't have a CD player.
Well, I ended up telling them I hate them all, and Milton and I had good fun throwing them to try and get them into a log basket, which I've also got to get rid of.
Oh.
Which then gave me the idea maybe I should just put them in the log basket.
That's a good idea.
Just take
it
outside. Have a CD, a log basket full of CDs.
Right.
I haven't got any logs, and it turns out now I haven't got any CDs.
Brilliant.
But I've got a log basket full of CDs.
So take it onto the common and sell them. Disc by disc.
They've all got
CDs on the common.
Some of them. Just
what are we talking about here?
Just terrible things. Over, you know, literally 30 years of having been given CDs for promotional use.
Oh, I see.
And they
want
to promote
It was. Yeah. All the remixes
of
songs.
Yeah, I mean, rubbish.
So when you say you didn't finish the job, does that mean there are CDs all over your place?
No, they're still in a pile.
Are they?
They're just in a pile and they're in a log basket and some of them are in the plastic bins.
Right.
But it was more fun throwing them into the log basket.
Glue them all together into a monstrous coffee table.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
That'll work. Bit
Someone
of epoxy.
Someone will buy that on Facebook.
Yeah.
Market,
oh, yeah.
Please.
You sell that as a piece of
I
art.
Don't know about that.
Yeah.
And then, so I was halfway through that, and then I thought I'd clean. Also, another job I had to do.
Yeah.
Is to clean in the bathroom drawers.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't take out the trays. You open it, it's like all trays inside. A bit like a cutlery drawer.
Yeah.
Trays, but you can't take them out.
Why not?
Because you can't lift them out. So you've got to sort of get... So I was meant to go in there and do each drawer, one by the top drawers, to sort of to get in there because there's lots of like little bits of hair and stubble and toothpaste. Because toothpaste gets everywhere.
Of course
everywhere.
It does. Yeah. Of course it does.
And
can't you
like
take
cement.
The whole drawer out?
I'm not going to do that because it involves lifting it at the back. And
it does, there's sort of those little catches on the side.
Yeah, right, yeah. I can't be asked to do that. So I did one.
Right.
Ah,
right.
And then I thought, I'll go back to the CDs.
Right. Oh, no. Probably in that mood. Yes.
One job annoyed you so much, it sent you back to another job that was annoying you.
Yes.
You started many things.
No, no, no. Do you know what I did to sort it out?
What?
A third job.
What did you start?
Oh, no.
What was
then?
The third?
The third job was because I bought two new... Because I found so many DVDs I really liked.
Yeah.
Amongst the CDs.
Ah.
Right.
Of films that I've actually been looking for. I thought, what I'm going to do is I'm going to find my Blu-ray
player.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll find my Blu-ray player. I'll put the TV in the bedroom on top of it.
Uh-huh. Movie night.
And then I'll go and find the wire that connects it. One of the...
Sure, the cables. Yeah,
Scott.
Scott.
And you've got a drawer of wires somewhere, haven't
you? Right. Which meant I could find the drawer of wires.
Nice.
So then I went down to the little room where there's the cupboard.
Uh-huh.
And I went in there. And I thought, well, I can find this now.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked, because I've actually got labels on the...
On the scar connectors.
Not on the bins.
On the bins, right.
And not
right,
on
right.
the individual cables.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was going to say, wow.
So I was looking there and it had all these. So I've had to move a load of stuff to even get the cupboard door open.
It's not a good start.
No, but luckily the scar one was easy to find.
Okay, right.
But then I was looking for the mains lead.
Yeah.
For the thing, which was a weird, I don't know why it was
a kettle lead.
It was a kettle lead.
Right.
No, it was the two, like the figure of eight.
Oh, the
one.
Two, the little eight. Yeah,
I got that.
Yeah.
I couldn't find a long one. I just found one that's, for some reason, like 1 foot long. I was thinking, what gadget did I ever need? Like a 1 foot cable. So I couldn't find
but
one that was
just
any
case.
Longer than that. So I thought, I know, I'll go back and do the bathroom. So off I went.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh. So I'm going home tonight. I've got three rooms in chaos.
You've got a lot half done, though.
I haven't really. I've just. They've all passed the point of no return.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 Fang. Radio X.
I'm Johnny Vaughan. This, the 4 till 7 thing on Radio X. I've got three half-done jobs. But at least I followed Mrs. Hinch's advice.
What's Mrs. Hinch's advice?
Well, if you're sorting out like a box of rubbish...
Yeah.
You've got to do it... Focus on one item at a time. You don't sort the whole box out.
Oh, yeah.
You pick out just the book. You sort out just your books.
Oh, okay.
You sort out CDs.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just end up with stuff in the corners of room in piles.
Right.
If your box has got one book, one CD, one cable.
A rubber band. Seven coins.
Oh, sod off. Radio X. Do you know what? Harry, I was talking about my world of half-done jobs, but it turns out you're eclipsing mine.
Yeah, I have got the unfortunate nickname of Half Job Harry.
And, have you?
Good
man.
Yeah, and I lived true to that yesterday.
What do you do? Sorry. What did you half do?
Well, my son turned two months ago.
Yeah.
And he's had a slide set in packaging for 2 months.
Okay, wait a second. Can I just say to you, who gave you that?
Yeah.
The in-laws, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. Which
is it the in-law
made
in-laws?
You
just
take
a wild guess.
Yeah.
Okay. I just say, would people as well stop? No, this is another thing that Vanessa's friend's done. It's driving me crazy. Yeah? He's buying things with lots of parts that are way too old for I nearly call him Vincent, for Milton.
Vincent?
I don't know why. Sometimes I get everyone's name
lots
wrong.
Of parts, yeah.
Yeah, like there's a briefcase just full of press studs and things. He's not going to make it yet.
No.
All it means is Vanessa goes, well, he likes opening things.
Yeah.
And what he does is, you know, everything these days is already in the bags inside, like Lego.
Yes.
And once you've lost track of the bag, that's
you're,
it.
You might as
you've
well
just
bin
got a
lot.
Bag
yeah.
of plastic rubble.
Yeah, yeah. You might as well have a bag of sand
yes,
on
yeah, you.
Yeah,
you might as well, literally, you might as well be being a Lego Blitz.
Yeah.
And what you've got to do is just create the East End in 1941.
Yeah. Rubble piles.
Yeah, like Dresden.
Yeah.
Lego Dresden.
Wow.
Is what you're creating.
Yeah. Man.
Oh, it drives me crazy. Please, stop it. Just give him things. Like he likes dinosaurs. It's obvious what he likes. Things that are... Just give him things that you... If it's going to be a kit, make it. Because if you give people things in kit form, it's like saying, what have you got? Happy birthday, Milton. Here's a job for your dad.
Yeah, right. It really is. Yeah, yeah. Well, especially in Harry's case, a slide for the garden.
Right. Yeah, happy birthday. Happy birthday. What's your boy's name?
Alfie.
Happy birthday, Alfie. Here's a job for half-assed Harry, your dad.
Yeah.
It's not a birthday present. Make it. Yeah. Then it's a present.
Then it's a present. Yeah, then it's a gift.
Otherwise, it's just him. Otherwise, all it means is for his birthday, he gets his dad in a bad mood and generally something that's now too young for him by the time he's finished doing it.
They're chuckling at
him. What you got?
So it is a swing set, wooden swing set. Mm. Now, I thought I'd...
Heartless.
Yeah.
Heartless.
Yeah, simple assembly, no doubt, yes?
A lot of parts, a lot of wood, heavy.
Right.
Thought I'd ordered with it a hand drill.
Yeah.
Hadn't done that.
Right.
No.
So I opened it up, needs a drill.
What you got to do?
Yeah. Go drive an hour to go and get my mate's drill.
But how far away was it?
Nah. Half an hour.
Yeah, right. An hour away, yeah. I bet it was.
He's a builder already.
I bet it was. I bet it was. What with that traffic? Yeah. Are they still telling you tea time?
Oh, dear. So, yeah, so I started, but there's no, it didn't say on it, like where to put the holes in.
Right.
It was just like guessing where to put the holes in. I was looking around and I was like, I watched this YouTube video. Nothing. This geezer just starts drilling holes. So I was like, well.
What they gave you is the gift of timber.
Yes, literally timber.
They just bought you a token for juicance.
Work it out. Work it out.
Selco.
There was no instruction.
Yeah, there was. It just said drill a hole, but like, that's it. Drill a hole through one side of the wood and not through the other side.
They must have just given you blueprint
and
a token for Selco.
Honestly.
I'd have got a man in.
He's like Hardy Krueger in Flight of the Phoenix.
He really is. No, this is ridiculous.
So what he's got...
Honestly, I have never even met your in-laws already. I really want to pull them aside and be talking to them. At what point did they think this was a present? And the worst thing is, they think they're so thoughtful. Do you know what the other thing about that is? This is really now where I'm going to kick off, yeah? Is when they come round when you've assembled it.
Oh. Yeah.
And expect now the plaudits.
Yeah.
For buying essentially a thin, long cardboard, heavy box is what they've got. Mm. Yeah. You've given them the slide. So what you should do, send it back. Send it back to this. I'll build it myself and I'll get the sodding credit. Now get out of here. Never stain this doorstep again. X.
With UK Export Finance, I'm fulfilling more export orders from around the world with working capital support.
Export insurance means I'll get paid when exporting to challenging markets.
At UK Export Finance, we believe no viable UK export should fail for lack of finance or insurance. Between 2022 and 2023, we provided £6.5 billion of government-backed trade finance to support UK exports. Learn how we could help you win export contracts, fulfil orders, and get paid. Search UK Export Finance today.
Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Love you. Sorry. I've been told one of the coolest things. Oh, man, as a shed man, this is the 4 till 7 thing on Radio X. We're just talking about tools you might, when you get that, when you're trying to build something.
Yeah.
And I was just saying to Harry that it's not a present. If you give something, and I really especially want grandparents listening to know this, or anyone with young kids, know this, yeah? That if anyone has got to assemble anything, that is not your gift. A gift is complete, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, you might as well just literally go to a toy. If you're buying them toys for Christmas, you might as well just go get a toy, get a sledgehammer, crush it, and just give them a pile of just nothing. Bits. Yeah, that's bits. A toy is complete. A present is complete.
You should be able to play with it straight away.
Right, you don't go to a restaurant, do you? And say, oh, thank you very much, here's the ingredients.
Yeah,
you
right.
Eat yourself.
Yeah,
that's not taking someone out for dinner, is it?
No, it isn't.
Or just turning it on a shopping bag full of bits. We go, yeah, cook it.
Some onions and carrots.
But you said you were going to cook us dinner. No, you just take away the stuff. And
I've
go back.
Given it to you.
Now go home and cook it yourself. How about this? This is Alex from Bisley. Thank you very much for a truly wonderful text. We're looking at instructions for things you've then got to build. Mm. We had a swing set a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
In the instructions, under tools you may need, was a picture of a cement mixer.
Whoa!
Mind you, that would be secure. It turns out Big Si has a cement mixer.
Which is mad.
No, but I tested him, yeah?
Yeah.
I tested him.
Yeah.
It's petrol.
What?
It's not electric.
Was it a two-stroke?
It's got a proper engine on there. It's really old school. Was it a diesel in there? Diesel. It's diesel.
It's a diesel engine.
Wow.
Cement mix. It's the most manly thing I've ever heard.
I thought you meant he had a guy living with him that knew how to mix cement.
A regular friend of the earth, aren't we?
Johnny Vaughan. Radio X.
I bumped into Dan O'Connell on my way in. He, like me, was very excited about his vaccines interview, which was fantastic last night. He interviewed Dustin.
It's Justin.
I know it's Justin, but I misheard it in the office. So I thought, Dustin? There isn't one called Dustin. No. I said, no, Justin. Right. It just made me laugh to think there was one of the vaccines was called Dustin. It's just not a name that's...
No.
You know, it's not...
Yeah. That's right.
It's not very big. Anyway, guys, what Dan was very excited about, and rightly so, is that in the interview, it's funny, isn't it? You can talk about all music and stuff. Music and stuff.
Sure.
But it's those snippets of the real guy that people find so fascinating. It's a bit like my pants texting, isn't it?
Sure.
It's just that glimpse of the sort of, just TJ at home, you know? And that's really caught your imagination.
It really did. Really, you really opened the kimono on that story.
I really opened the kimono on that. They've double-clicked it and opened it up.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, loads of suggestions coming in to do that. But let's not talk about me now, I know that's what you're keen to get on with.
Sure.
So anyway, Justin said this last night, under questioning. Here we go.
Is there something you miss about being in London? Something you miss about home?
Yeah, my friends and my family, the people. I think there's no substitute for the Brits, however mad we may be. And obviously, food.
But you've got all that good stuff over in LA. You've got all those kind of, you know, the taquerias and the food trucks and all that.
The Mexican food, the Korean food, the Thai food's all pretty good. I do sometimes miss, like, a Tesco meal deal or something.
Boom!
What do you go to on the Tesco meal deal? What do you normally go for there?
It's just a sandwich. You're just like an egg sandwich.
How about that? He's in LA, yeah? Mm. Misses a Tesco meal deal egg sandwich. So the thing is, I get that. People do have strange hankerings for things that are very... But what I want to know is, it's
even
all very
simple
well...
Simple things.
Where, it's the simple things, for rock guys.
Sure.
And I'm the same when I'm abroad. But Gav, what I want to know is, what are the things that are like the equivalent of that Tesco mayonnaise sandwich that you miss when you've come back from holiday?
Oh,
those things
so
you
from,
have
people, from places away.
Right.
Yeah.
You sort of say, we were having this amazing jamon. Oh, my God. I mean, this wine.
This beer we found.
Oh, no, there's this liqueur they do. But what are those little simple things? I'll tell you something straight off the bat that I can't believe we haven't got in this country. And I discussed this with Dan outside.
Yeah, go on.
You know, President, the butter people.
Yes.
You make that really sort of top of the range butter.
Yeah, yeah.
High end butter. They make a, like a creamed brie.
Yes, they do.
Like a brie cheese.
It's like a brie.
It's like imagine Philadelphia, you just got brie.
Oh my God.
It's insane. Like in a plastic thing, so you can just literally get your Ritz cracker and just boom and just No, but Dan informs me that, you know, all cheeses can be found in cream form these days. I don't know what he's talking about. Yeah. But anyway, I'd like to know 83936, what are some of those the snacky things? The equivalent of that egg mayonnaise sandwich from Tesco.
Right.
That he misses when he's abroad. But what do you miss from abroad?
Well, it's gotta be all the different types of Cheetos that you can get in
but
the supermarket.
You can't go wrong with the Cheetos.
Every single flavour, the pizza flavour, the chili flavour, the ones that are shaped like footballs, the ones that are in cones, they're just amazing, Chris.
You mean orange powder snacks?
Yes.
Oh, man, my favourite cheese products,
you spend as much time just cleaning the fingers as eating them. That's the only thing that puts me off them.
Delicious with a cold beer.
Luckily, with my fake tan, if I've been doing some, you know, bodybuilding and stuff. What about you, Gav?
The green cream soda you get in South Africa, the Spaletta.
Oh, Gav.
It's delicious.
No, it's just sugar.
It's delicious.
Did I get you one of those once?
I think you did. Yeah. And the all-gold ketchup they have there as well. Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm
and also
it...
the tomato-flavoured crisps you can get out there.
No, South Africa. I'm going in with the Lay's do a Caribbean sea salt and balsamic vinegar, salt and vinegar.
Mm.
Only available in South Africa.
Oof.
It's the nicest crisp I've ever had in my life.
Delicious.
83936. Sunta, someone is with you on the cheese footballs.
Yes! Come on!
cheese football.
So good. No,
but there's literally, Sunta, I am with you on the cheese footballs. 83936, please. I've talked about my my brie cheesy spread. This is the Stone Roses. Love spreads. How about
Radio X?
Right, guys.
Yes.
I was just thinking about the majority of these world's unnamed plants that are at risk of extinction.
Yes. Right.
In terms of how we feel about that.
Uh-huh.
Because on the front of the Times today, it promises 6 rules to help cure your midlife insomnia. That's a way to do it. Just contemplating that paradox.
Yeah, you'll get to sleep. You really will.
No, not paradox, but just, do you know what I might do?
What?
This is my thought for the show.
Okay, go on.
I'm going to become an expert.
In
unnamed plants.
Because no one can challenge you.
No, they can't.
It's a really good point.
Tonight we talk to Johnny Vaughan, an expert in unnamed plants. Johnny, what was it about them? It's a sort of, I does own voice.
Yeah.
I suppose it's a sense of mystery, isn't it, around them? I find really exciting.
Are you doing Johnny Vaughan now?
Yeah, it was my impression of me.
Pretty good, actually.
It's not bad. It's not bad at all.
Vaughan does impression of self. But I suppose it's the way these plants, you know, they're just there, but they haven't got names. It's amazing.
Mm. Wow. I mean, there's a whole BBC series in
right,
there.
But really what's is. Great about it is people go, what would you say is the favourite one? You go, I don't know, it's sort of yellow with...
Yeah, right. I can't tell you the name of it, obviously.
It's big.
Yeah. There's a stem.
No, it's, it has little, you know the one?
Yeah. Little round bits.
And, but I think...
It's got a bit of a spike.
It's got one thorn.
No, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to make this show... A place where people can convene to discuss unknown plants.
Not good.
No, but that's what we're going to be known for.
Right.
Right.
You know that show's got the highest proportion of experts of unknown plants ever.
Can I be an expert?
Johnny's World of New Plants.
Okay, guys, you think I'm being serious?
Yeah.
But I'm going to start a charity on the basis of this to protect unknown plants.
That's a brilliant idea.
So that they're named before they go extinct.
And also, there's thousands of them.
Yes.
So there'll always be the need for lots of funding.
Yeah, we can name them after listeners.
And research in South America, for example.
Yeah, we have some great trips.
Maybe Baja.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Maybe the Baja Peninsula.
Right, now you're looking at it.
I'm up
for becoming an expert.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Let's start in South America.
Right. Mm-hmm. What about Nashville, for example?
No, South America.
Okay.
And then we'll stay there.
Okay. Brilliant.
No, but I think the Amazon, that's got to... Because that'll give us some time.
We can move continuously between...
What's the name of this
Peru
plant?
And Brazil.
This plant is called
João.
This is João. And what's this one called? Raul.
João.
What's this one called? Gil. You know, we could do that, can't we?
A lifetime's work.
There we
go. It's a lifetime's work. Absolutely. we're going to need a lot of funding.
We're going to need a hell of a lot of funding. But if you want to join us, you know, we're going to start this movement. We're going to name these. Yeah. No, we're not. We're going to keep them in the abstract. someone else has christened one already. The hassle weed. Thank you very much for that. That's a great name.
At Barclays, we know money can be tricky to navigate. We're here to help you find your way around it. Like buying your first home, because getting your foot on the property ladder shouldn't feel like snakes and ladders. With the Barclays Family Springboard Mortgage and help from family and friends, you can get the keys in your hand and they'll get their deposit back with interest. Search Barclays Family Springboard Mortgages. Barclays, make money work for you. Minimum savings apply. Returned with interest after 5 years if payments maintained. Application, financial circumstances, borrowing history and T's and C's apply. UK residents only.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
Are you ready for this?
Go on.
This really stunned me, right?
What?
First of all, just three stories from the world of nature.
Okay.
First up. How to stop bed bugs. These French bed bugs are invading us. It's
yes,
going crazy.
Everyone's worried about it, even on the underground, apparently. They're all over the underground.
Okay, this happened in the 70s.
Right.
Yeah, we're going back.
Sure.
Yeah. You've got to shove your duvet in the deep in your freezer.
And that kills them for sure.
Yeah.
Mine's not going to fit in my freezer.
Really?
Go to a local shop.
Is that a big duvet problem or a small freezer problem?
It's a tiny freezer problem.
Ah, okay, right.
Go to a local shop.
What local shop?
Oh, you must have a local shop.
If I go to Iceland, do you think they'll let me put my duvet in one of their big open chest freezers?
They'll rent you some freezer space, I'm sure.
It'd be a great service for Iceland to offer at night. Sure.
Really would be, actually.
They could cram loads in there.
Oh. A fortune, yeah.
Because they're much easier to squish up when they're not frozen. But it's a great service
to
offer.
Drop it off on your way to work.
Yes.
Give it a good 8 hours.
Right.
Pick it up on the way home.
Brilliant.
No more bed bugs.
Job done. £5.
Lovely.
Absolutely lovely. So there's a business opportunity for someone. Also, you might have one of those chest freezers in your garage.
Sure, yeah.
Garage?
Yeah.
No, but a lot of people have that. In the herbs.
Sunter's got a four-car garage in North London.
You live in a flat, don't you?
So do I, but in the herbs.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A lot of people have that.
Yeah. Yeah, they do, yeah. Or even in their sheds or whatever, yeah.
Sheds?
I mean, I keep six...
She's in a flat.
I keep six chest freezers in my shed.
Yeah, that's a good amount.
It is, yeah.
That's the right amount.
Sure. If you're dividing your food correctly, you need about six.
Yeah.
Anyway, freeze duvets and that'll do it. This is what tenants have been told.
Right.
Not the lager manufacturer.
No.
But tenants in houses.
Interesting crossover there. Yeah.
But tenants... Sure. Tenants haven't been told that by the government to freeze their duvets because the government's not going to pick out the manufacturer.
No, they're not going
to. Very.
They talk
strong.
To all the lager makers.
Yeah, they would do.
They were not just one. Yeah.
A lager maker.
Lager maker.
Next up, the Furbinator 3000.
Mm. What's that?
It's a doorbell. An IT expert claims to have trained the Ring camera to detect foxes and badgers in his garden, which triggers a... effectively, like one of those mini guns with the rotating barrels.
And what? Destroys the animal.
No, he doesn't.
What does it really trigger? Come on.
And he's done, he's got a very makeshift sort of shotgun with strings.
Elastic bands.
And the triggers, elastic bands.
Oh, that sounds fine.
It's quite a series
of guns.
I'm looking at it here. It's quite steampunk. It's quite steampunk. He's got a crossbow and it nails it between the eyes. No, it doesn't. But it's a high-pitched squeak and it scares them away.
It's a humane deterrent.
But what's wrong with them in your garden?
I mean, yeah.
What?
Well, they might dig things up, I suppose.
No, what? What? What's wrong with the
nice
fox?
What have you been burying in your garden?
She's got a flat. She hasn't got a garden.
That's true, yeah.
It might go through your flower beds or try and get under your shed and upset your big deep freeze.
Yes, of course, yeah. Chest freezers.
Your six chest freezers.
Yeah.
I can't discuss why.
Is it true you keep some of your guitars in freezers? No, seriously.
Keeps their value high.
No, seriously, they're layered in freezers. Don't touch it. What's in there? A frozen Les Paul.
A 59 Telecaster.
Yeah. I keep it at exactly... And lastly, they've genetically edited chickens to stop the spread of bird flu. It's well done on that. But if you're going to genetically edit chickens, one, boneless.
Definitely.
Oh, my goodness.
Four wings.
Yes, definitely. And also self-basting jerk seasoning.
Yes, six thighs.
It's such a monstrous thing you've just built.
Why? It's not monstrous. What I want is a blob of meat.
Oh,
absolutely.
That's
yeah.
it. That's it.
Mm. That's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. 83936, how would you mutate chicken? And don't talk about cheese.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 fang.
Radio X.
Hey, Gav.
Yeah?
The results of our... We had an appeal earlier for our imaginative ways you would genetically mutate chickens. We launched an appeal.
Sure.
And that appeal, the results, we're starting to get some of those in now.
Yeah. Great suggestions. In actuality, why have they modified them for bird flu?
Yes.
Right.
Dull.
Right.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, comparatively, compared to what our listeners have come up with.
Yeah,
if you're going to start, fiddling, messing with creation, please be a bit more imaginative.
Yeah, there's no glamour in that, is there?
I genetically modified chickens so they're already coated with 11 secret herbs and spices ready to serve up. Imagine a Kentucky fried... whole chicken.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
We're taking it out of the oven all crispy.
Oh. A Kentucky fried whole chicken.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Johnny Vaughan.
Radio X. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we just launched an appeal to find out ways you'd like to genetically modify chicken. This is after the scientists, the egghead boffins, Brit boffs, eggheads. They've just taken away the bird flu gene or something.
Yeah,
brilliant.
So dull. Hey, Tej, can they genetically modify chicken so they have more legs? Dozen or so. So it only takes one chicken to create a family bucket.
Interesting.
Again,
a hideous idea.
I hope. It's not a hideous idea.
But imagine what that would look like.
Oh, I don't care.
It'd be like a It'd be like a centipede, like a farmyard centipede that fly badly.
I'm not in it for the aesthetic.
Right.
Oh, look at that chicken. That's a beaut, that one. honestly, it's not that sort of show, Harry. Yeah. If you want to do that, just go to, why don't you naff off to BBC local radio, because here we don't do that. Yeah, or either go to that or the 80s, because right here we're a bit more modern. Honestly, our audience is a bit brighter. It doesn't think, I liked when they played them chicken sounds in.
Speaking of brightness, Johnny.
No, don't.
Oh, sorry.
It just really makes it sound like hospital radio or something. It's like he's my imaginary chicken friend.
Yeah. Speaking of brightness, Russell in Glasgow has got one of the best suggestions.
What's he saying?
He would replace the bag of giblets with something more tasty and ready to eat, like a portion of egg fried rice. That's ready to go.
So I tell you something, that is absolutely fantastic.
It's one of the cleverest things I've ever read.
Again, what Russell's doing is he's throwing down the gauntlet to science.
He really is.
He's making them feel like, literally, they've barely started.
Sure.
What have you seen there since? What's caught your eye?
James in T. Wells suggests a chicken body, alligator legs and a shark head.
It would create quite an item.
Now,
it's like
that's
a mixed grill,
interesting mutation.
Well, alligator shark chicken, I think it's fantastic, Gav. I'd mutate chicken into a succulent Chinese meal. Absolutely right. Yeah. Mutate that chicken so it already has barbecue sauce when you bite into it.
Yeah.
T-Rex sized chickens.
Yeah,
you go back in time and that's what dinosaurs actually look like. It's massive, all of them just huge chickens. You think, well, we're right for food, lads. Here we go.
We're going to need a big rotisserie.
Eight.
Yeah.
This is a really good suggestion. You ready? This is about the best we've had. A genetically modified chicken, 8 wings of varying spiciness, and an egg delivery cavity that tastes of onion rings.
Wow, he's covered all the bases.
I was going to say, is there one thing better? If you grated feathers that are made of chips.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Hey, Gav.
Yeah.
I'm still looking at some of the extraordinary results to our how would you mutate a chicken in more exciting ways.
They're still coming in.
Appeal. It's our new appeal we've launched.
Sure.
Loads of good stuff. I'd mutate them so they all sounded like foghorn leghorns.
Thank you, brilliant.
I give chickens highly judgmental looks on their faces. I already think they are quite beady.
Do you think they're looking down on you? Yeah.
Eat me, would you?
Right.
And you're thinking, yes, I would if you carry on looking at me like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's half their problem.
Sure.
Sometimes when I used to look after chickens, I used to love going up to them and going, you got a problem with that? You got a problem? Because I'm going to eat you.
They've got a chip on their shoulder,
yeah,
haven't they?
Of course they have, yeah. If you're lucky.
Nigel in Barnsley says that he would cross a chicken's DNA with a pig's, a butcher's delightful variation on the ancient griffon. With 4 legs and 2 enormous wings, we'd all have plenty.
Plenty to go round. Plenty to everyone. She got what it takes, my chicken.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thang.
Radio X.
I genetically modify the chicken to be cross-eyed and only lay either double yolkers or Easter eggs, says Gaz in Jarrow. Thanks so much for that.
Rich in Sutton says, I'd modify them so that when you cooked a chicken, you just tap it and it would fall apart into nuggets like a chocolate orange.
That's a really good idea. That's a really good
That's
idea.
A great idea. That's brilliant. There'll be scientists there in that lab kicking themselves. I'd like to genetically mutate a scientist so that it could kick itself. Okay, you ready for this? We all know the wings are the best. Let's give each bird 6 of them. It's a great idea.
It's a lovely idea.
Also, just make the wings bigger as well.
Right.
I mean,
absolutely.
I know that
you've
got the problem with the chicken flying, but just put a hole in it so it can't do that. Just scupper that.
I'd mutate chickens to give them samurai swords from their wings so that the foxes would think twice, says
yes,
Gary.
Yes, that's a really good idea.
I like that image, yeah.
What about the chicken and redesign the bones? So you can have a toothpick.
They're all toothpicks.
Yes.
Pick those little bits out.
So,
yeah.
So at the end of it, you can use the chicken to pick the bits of chicken.
So simple.
Out of your teeth.
So simple.
Do you know something? We haven't got listeners. We've just got a range of geniuses.
Radio X.
No, don't. Sorry. Sunta's got this certain face she does at moments of drama. And that was it.
That's serious it. News
that was
face.
It. No, it's yeah. A serious news face. It's like you've been told. But it was like... doof, 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 doof. Gav.
Yes.
This is the 4 till 7 thing on Radio X. Every single day at exactly this time on the 4 till 7 thing. What do we have, Suns?
A hero.
Yeah, and who gives us that hero?
Gavin.
Yes.
Yes, he does.
Yes. So let's hold hands and let's enter his heroic little slot together.
Well, welcome, everyone.
Hi, Gav.
Hi.
Today's hero is Flying Officer Arthur Steele. He was born in 1917, and this is from a story in yesterday's newspapers. It wasn't a huge story, like size-wise, but it's one of those ones where your eyebrows just go up a little bit with every line you read. So first off, Arthur Steele has just turned 106 this last Sunday. He was born in Bristol in 1917, and between the wars, he attended the coronation of George VI in 1937. During World War II at first... He lived through the bombing blitz of Bristol and even drove fire engines to the various fires.
It was heavily, according to my dad, it was heavily bombed.
Oh, yeah. And in those early days in Bristol, they had trams running, and he was once hit by a tram, which knocked him off his bicycle. He was compensated. Guess how much he got in compensation?
How much?
£20 for a new suit and some repairs to his bicycle.
That's how Gaudi died.
Is it really? You know, really? The architect in
Barcelona.
In Barcelona,
yeah.
Wow.
He was hit by a tram.
So Arthur then became a navigator later in the war and a radar operator for the RAF. In 1944, his plane went down with engine trouble over the North Sea after a mission over Norway and landed in a North Sea minefield.
Oh, God.
He was the only survivor. It's a two-man plane, a Bristol Beaufighter.
Hey, I've made one of those as an Airfix model.
They're quite cool. They're sort of heavily armed two-engine planes. Yeah, they look like a sort of chubby mosquito.
No, but the sort of thing that you always think you and a mate could have fun with one.
Definitely,
now.
Yeah.
No, we've got an old Bristol Beaufighter. We take it to the continent at weekends.
Anyway, he ended up in the North Sea. He'd injured his leg and he was struggling in the water. He almost drowned, in fact. But a nearby trawler captain dived in and swam after him to rescue him.
Wow.
That trawler captain got an MBE for rescuing Arthur at the time.
Were they still like fishing and stuff in war and things?
Well, in the North Sea, they must have been.
They must have been.
I'm also presuming the boat was small enough to navigate a minefield because it sounds quite dangerous.
But what's the deal there? Did Jerry take out
trawlers?
I guess it's not worth a torpedo, is it?
Yeah, it's too small a boat.
You might surface and do it with the cannon.
Yeah, absolutely. So, do you know what Arthur's secret to long life was?
What? Please tell me it was fags and brandy.
No, unfortunately, he just said, it was nothing particular, just keep going.
Is that what he said? You just got to keep going.
This is just so awesomely simple.
I'll tell you what my secret is. You just got to keep going, haven't you?
He did. So, happy 106th birthday, Arthur Steele.
How about that? Oh, great war name.
Amazing,
as well.
Yeah.
Do you think he's real?
Well, of course he's real.
No, but they could just be the Department of Propaganda still serving up characters like Arthur Steele, just to make us all feel like namby-pamby, you know.
Inadequate.
Oh, you don't know you're born today, you just got to keep on, haven't you? Arthur Steele. Arthur British Steele.
Radio X.
Fatboy Slim right here, right now, during which a discussion was held in this very studio, which I very much hope Gareth Southgate heard. But on the other hand, if he did, his face would change forever.
He'd be red-faced.
But broadly, Gavin and I believe that England should be very adventurous when it comes to friendlies.
Yeah, because when are you going to just try people?
I want like Harlem Globetrotter style football.
Me too.
Like all stars doing keep it up, joking with the crowd, having headers with linesmen.
Australia, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Bring on a clown.
Johnny, somewhere. I don't want to recognise a single name in that team.
No.
I don't want to know who the hell they are.
Bring out old pros, you know, like Wayne Rooney comes out for
yes.
me, you know, like Lampard.
Yeah, master's appearance from Mr. Rooney.
Got the master's appearance, exactly right. Someone who's paid a load of money.
Yeah.
Another one, like a charity guy, just had heart surgeries, recovering,
he's
out there, he's paid like £1 million.
Just give us
the
a
British
really
Heart Foundation.
Explosive 5 minutes right. out of him or something.
Yes, that's the Swiss Australia
yeah.
as well. They're right in the spirit of it.
Sure, yeah.
Australians would love it.
Love it.
Oh, they'd absolutely, Gav, they would absolutely love it. They would get it.
They'd get into the spirit of it.
They would get it, certainly. And also, a game where, you know, any time you could have someone like parachutes in.
Right.
Hey, it's David Beckham!
And yes.
Yeah.
And he's on to play.
He's unclipped straight away.
As they can get rid of the parachute,
of those,
and off he goes.
Well, no, tandem jump. So the guy
unclips. Yeah, sure.
You know,
sure.
drops him a bit, maybe sinks his leg buckle a bit.
Right. And then he rips off his parachute suit and he's got the kit on and off he goes.
No, he's not even, he comes down in his kit. Or all 11 do.
Boots on and everything,
right,
yeah.
The right position.
But they all just float into the
yes.
positions.
And then the parallel jumpers, they just jump them a bit off the ground. You're like,
right. Have they got smoke on their ankles?
They're all smokers anyway. All smoking fags. No, they...
You know, like display team smoke.
Gentlemen, from the 1958 England side.
In they come, floating in.
Would you please welcome...
Mind how you go.
Bobby Tambley.
Yeah. As he lands.
No, but Gavin, you're so right, they can have a lot more fun.
Yeah, why not?
Like, Australia, definitely, should always have a kangaroo in goal.
Absolutely,
just
yeah.
for a laugh.
Absolutely. Couple of wombats on the crossbar.
With boxing gloves.
Yeah. Ready to
Koalas.
Play.
Koalas. Definitely a koala on just munching a stick on the thing and, you know, just really give us a show.
And maybe their football team, they just look yes. suspiciously like their rugby team.
Yeah, a plague of rabbits. No, you definitely have a rugby player in there, Gav.
Yeah. Well,
and a couple of cricketers. And also the same in the England side. You have a couple of cricketers.
Absolutely.
And then at the end... Burn the goals.
There you
Turn them into big ashes.
See, they only have these friendlies to make money.
Right.
So that would make some money.
Well, it would make some money, mate.
Right.
But what's he going to do instead?
No, he'll have a little trial run for the serious game on Tuesday.
He'll do more than that, Gav. He'll play Maguire.
Exactly.
And for me, that's the opposite of one, fun.
Yes.
Two, friendly.
Sure. And the future of England football.
Yes. Yes. Three. The future of England. What I'm saying is it's completely opposite of anything we stand for.
Exactly.
If you want the opposite of Globetrotters football, well, I guess he does offer us a bit. Like, for instance, when he netted that one for Scotland, that was very Globetrotters, wasn't it? You know, do you know what I mean? That was
a bit exhibition
of fun.
Stuff.
It was a bit of fun.
Yeah.
It was a bit of fun.
Think on, Gareth.
Yes.
Have some fun, mate.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
Think on, Harry. Go away for the weekend.
X. Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
What's that one thing they won't let you forget about? Or maybe it's you who think you're in the right. Whatever it is, it might well be a...
Long-running dispute. Ha, ha. Long-running dispute. Ain't no resolution. Closure or resolve. Send your long-running dispute. Ha. It never ends.
Gaff, man, you're always very... You really listen to so much. From the disco genre.
It never ends.
Fantastic, guys, fantastic. I was at Dan, who has an outstanding... How did this start?
I have no idea.
Oh, it was a thing in India.
Yes, it was a really long court case. Yeah, well played.
Remembered something.
So it's not a competition, but you did win it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
No, but
did,
I've
yeah.
never seen... Look how pleased she looks with herself.
I know.
Look at that.
Only as well because it meant that Big Si didn't have to try and work out how to mime it to us.
Oh, yes, how to mime
good
India.
Good point. Yeah.
He might have gone with a mouthful of something and gone... Anyway, we've had Dan, who has an outstanding find from his own sister after he borrowed a book for longer than expected.
Yeah, like decades before, yeah.
Gary, who'll argue with anyone that time shift TV channels should be minus one, not plus one.
Yep.
Incidentally, thank you very much to whoever it was that... Can you turn the backing track down a little bit? It's just
because we're going to have to dance otherwise.
No, I really want to get up. I really want to get up and boogie. It's boogie, Gaff, not dance.
Of course, yeah.
Boogie. Yeah. To whoever it was who texted in, I've got a few friends that like tennis.
Okay. Yeah.
And I've really dined out on the fact that, well, why isn't 30 all juice?
Oh yes.
Ah, and what was the answer?
Well, no, I don't know why 30 all isn't juice. No, it's a guy who's got a long-running dispute with a friend of his saying that in tennis they wait till 40 all to cry juice. But actually, you could equally say it at 30 all because you've still got to win by 2 points. So it doesn't really matter.
Right, yeah, it amounts to the same thing.
Yes.
God, they're strange, the tennis people,
aren't
they?
No, but what's amazing is if you're known as someone who doesn't really know about tennis.
Mm. Right.
And you drop that in amongst people who are talking about tennis, you go, why isn't 30 all juice? They suddenly look at you like you've really lit it up. Because tennis doesn't leave you much to talk about.
No, it really doesn't. No. It really doesn't.
No, it really doesn't.
No, it does.
I'm not kidding. It's extraordinary how you say, well, no, because it's not. It's 40 all. You go, think about it. Don't tell them about the 2 point thing. Why isn't it?
Yes.
Lure them in.
Yeah. Definitely. Because they'll go with you.
Yes.
They'll go.
I tell you what's a really good trick as well, which I got from the book of One Upmanship, the Stephen Potter book. This is really good if you're dining out and you're with people who, you know, think they're interesting.
Mm.
Sure.
What you should do is, or they're being quite pompous, what you do is you look up a fact on your phone.
Mm.
Say, you go, I wonder what, like, if you're with people, I would say friends in advertising, but the truth is no one's got a friend in advertising.
Sure.
That's not, no, they haven't though. You saw, everyone sort of has got a friend in advertising, but not a really good friend.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
Most people in advertising, they're very friendly with other people in advertising.
Yes, it is a scene, isn't it?
Yes.
It is a scene.
No, because then that's not friendship, it's sort of networking.
It is, yeah.
Anyway, you say something like, you start a dispute. So you say something like, I wonder what percentage of adverts actually works?
Yeah, and increase sales.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they'll all start debating. Or, I wonder what percentage of those things put through people's doors actually get a response. Wait for them to debate it, and then you finish. You go, no, it's 1 in 17, actually. It's genius.
That's a real.
No, you
that's
have
a chat
answer.
Stopper, that is.
No, but you really started going. Yeah, is that what you think? No, I don't know. But you really act like you don't know the answer, then boom. Right. Gary, who'll argue, I told you about that. And Emma, who's still in dispute with her own sister over ownership of a prized bauble from the family Christmas tree. Sunta, what have you got from Aaron in Grantham?
Aaron says, my wife and I had a long-running dispute over who ate the last Ferrero Rocher one Easter.
Serious business.
We exchanged snide remarks for almost 2 years until our daughter, who was 7 at the time, revealed that she'd actually tried it, didn't like it, and threw it in a bush in the garden.
Oh!
How do you not like a Ferrero Rocher?
Shocking.
Aaron, we like disputes that are still on. That's resolved itself.
Yeah, it kind of has.
But a nice story, great story, so we'll give you an exception then. Yeah. I don't want to have a dispute about that.
Let's not start one.
No.
We don't have that time, but Aaron, whether that counts or not.
Go on for
Gav, what do you got?
Colin in Kent says...
Hello, Colin.
My brother and I have been in a long-running dispute for about 15 years now. After he forgot to send me a birthday card one year, we even get into the subject last weekend. He still denies forgetting. I wouldn't mind, but his birthday is literally the day before mine.
Wow.
How did he forget?
How did he forget that?
That's cold.
This is from Jenny in Bicester, Junction 9. Incidentally, you know Bicester Factory Village? I've got a long-running dispute with my partner, Vanessa. She won't go near the place.
I don't like it anymore.
I hate it.
I haven't been... The last time I went, it was so disappointing.
Why?
Because it's the stuff that nobody else buys.
I know, but there's good stuff... Okay, this is her.
If I had really tiny feet, it might suit me.
No, because she has. She says she can't find anything there. She says, no, all the small sizes are gone. Everything's only XL. They should call it Bicester XL.
She's probably right.
Yeah.
No, but I said with her size feet, which is 3, she should be able to find them there.
Good
she
point,
says
yeah.
no. Mm. I said, well, let's go there and find out. She goes, no, I'm not going there because they won't have them.
Mm.
Paradox.
Weird.
Caught in that one, aren't we? Resolve that, sucker. Right, I'm the witness of a long-running dispute between my neighbours. It involves bin night and has been going on for at least 8 months. They live opposite me and share a driveway.
Yeah.
I've seen number 56 put their extra recycling in number 58's bin.
Yeah.
58 has become wise to this, so we'll wait until the bins are out and then remove any car plastic, etc. that isn't theirs and place it back on top on 56's full bin. Depending on what time this happens, 56 will come out and repeat the process.
Oh, man.
It's strangely enthralling.
Wow.
That is a long-running dispute.
Bin wars, man.
Send yours in 83936 or email johnny@radiox.co.uk.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 Fang.
Radio X. Ladies and gentlemen, I had a big clear out today, something you know I'm not very good at. But I
thought, you started
Vanessa's
over the weekend,
away for a couple of days
in
Ibiza. That's my partner. So I thought, well, I'm gonna do something. She said, because I hoard clothes and just particularly ever since I discovered the Hanes website, where you can get some amazing sweatshirts for like £9.
What?
Get really good sweatshirts for £9. You can get 12 packs of vests, which you know I wear, £23.
For a 12-pack?
For a 12-pack.
It's less than a pound.
Just get really nice
shirt. Are
they all
right quality, though?
No, Hanes are the best quality. What are you talking about?
I've never heard of them.
Hanes. They're the biggest T-shirt manufacturer in the world, apart from maybe Fruit of the Loom.
With Hanes, you get gains.
Yeah. Anyway, the point about it is with them and Fruit of the Loom, which when I used to go to Mexico quite a bit, I had a craze on Mexico.
Sure.
In Mexican supermarkets, you can get these 10 packs of pants.
Yeah.
So rather than pack any to go out there, I just used to buy these 10 packs of pants.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Well, no, they're not particularly nice, actually.
Aren't they?
And anyway, so today, the result is I've got this, literally, a bale of pants.
Right.
How many would you estimate?
I don't know.
Bale?
I didn't count them.
What are we talking?
I just thought, do you know what? It's time for them to go. I've got to get rid of them.
Right, right.
Where
they're
have
all...
they been all this time?
What are you going to sell them? What are you going to do?
That's the thing. What do you do with old pants?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know,
interesting.
Once worn by Johnny Vaughan, someone's going to pay money for
good
that.
Good point, Sunter.
Yeah,
the TJ's pants.
I run those suckers ragged.
You could start a website with those things.
I'm harsh. But the thing is, you know, I'm tough on pants, tough on the causes of pants.
Sure,
right, sure.
TJ's Pantsorama.
No, but I am tough on pants.
Yeah, you are
it
tough
is.
On
I
pants,
a
yeah.
tough pant wearer.
Sure.
I mean, really, it's like, you know, it's like.
You if a pant can survive like a day on Teej,
yeah,
they're
exactly
well made.
Right.
They're
like,
well made.
It's like the last thing they do when they test a car is the moose test.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
Right.
Or the
right.
elk test, whatever
sure,
it is.
Sure, yeah,
you've
yeah.
got to swerve out of the way of like an elk.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Same sort of thing.
Without the sort of marks on the road and stuff. It's not a very good analogy, in fact. But anyway, the point is, what do you do with old pants?
Yeah, right. I mean, rags? Rags for the workshop?
Yeah,
oh.
Rags.
Rags.
I know, but I don't like the idea of that.
Well, if they're cotton, it's a great thing to use.
No, I've got a really nice cleaner. She's been with us a long time.
Uh-huh.
And she's very unreliable.
I'm talking about more for yourself when you're doing like some metal work.
No, but I don't want to see. Actually, no, you're absolutely right, though. I've got so much silver to polish.
That's true, yeah.
but you try and find a decent butler.
That's right.
I didn't know what to do with them. I just had this big bale of pants, and I was looking at them. It's big, about that high, about a foot and a half high.
Wow.
Just of cheap.
That's probably about 100 pairs of pants.
Cheap pants I bought from several trips to Mexico when I got about 10 pounds.
Right, Mexican pants, yeah.
The old Mexican pants.
Mexican
pants. The old Mexican jockey. And I just didn't know what to do. I suddenly thought, because I've got a hospice next door to me that's got the charity bins outside.
Yeah, yeah.
So the charity, you know, the big hoppers or whatever. Mm. And I thought, I can't do that. You can't just drop a load of pants in.
It seems a bit much, doesn't it?
It does seem a bit much.
Look at that, love. We got a load of pants in.
These ones
look pretty serviceable.
I don't think charity shops take second-hand underwear.
They don't
have a rack of second-hand pants for sale there, do they?
No.
Use the textiles bin.
The textile bins.
Oh, where they recycle them?
Yes.
Right,
the textile bins.
Mm.
Oh, but it's I think they're quite hard to find.
I'll ask Terry.
I used to use my old pants to clean my football boots with.
There you go.
That's a good idea.
Someone says Natty Bunting for the shed.
There you go,
That's a good idea.
Bunting. Great idea.
I mean...
TJ's Duster Collection.
Yeah.
No, not the people who do car DIY manuals. Different Hanes,
yeah. Although, those Hanes, they'll do anything.
But I didn't know what to do with them. But do you know what the thing is? From the moment I slung them in the bin, I've got regrets.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
No, I really regret it.
I don't blame you.
I'm already thinking that. Already all these things coming in like dusters and...
Oh, metal polishing. You really need that cotton.
83936, have I made a mistake? What could I have used them for? No, it's like my dad never chucks away a bit of wood because it might become a bloody good breadboard. I'm like, Dad, what do you mean? Breadboard. Talking about... How much bread are you paying? Okay, he's got a shed for these little... Well, I keep that. Johnny might make a nice little cheese board or something, you know, you can put nice meats on. I'm like, what?
X. These days, it's nice to know what you're getting. Like the same, when you tuck into our tasty breakfast. The same,
yes!
When your kids stay and eat breakfast for free. The same, woo! Knowing there are over 800 hotels. And the same, every time you sink into one of our super comfy beds. Enjoy the same feeling, whatever the trip. Premier Inn. Rest easy. Only available to book at premierinn.com. T's and C's apply. Up to 2 kids stay and eat breakfast free with a full paying adult.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
What does TJ do with his chucked out pants? Well, I've chucked them now. I'm full of regret. Now, looking at your text.
All these brilliant ideas.
COVID-23 face masks.
Good point.
Genius.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Great idea.
Perhaps a new line in gerbil hammocks.
Make some cushions with your old pants, yes. says one texter.
And a really good suggestion here.
Mm.
Someone's just put a nice little air freshener.
Yeah, sure. Well, for the scent of TJ. In your car, would you like TJ to smell in your car?
But someone else has said, I think it's Andrew, has said, put some of your dad's leftover wood to good use and rig up a pant-based trebuchet.
Oh.
Wow.
Now you're talking.
I mean, that's a dream, isn't it?
It's a dream, don't. That's too much.
But this is almost like trouser talk.
It's a real leap.
It's pants.
Anyway, I've got... She wants me to move on to the T-shirts I also bought at Mexican Supermarket.
Oh, really? So that's next, yeah.
What do I do?
They can go to the charity shop, defo.
But they're great rags.
You haven't seen... No, remember, I've cut them all down the sides. So
You
can see the ribcage, yeah.
They fit a very specific...
Posing.
But I don't know how many bodybuilders go to charity shops.
Johnny Vaughan.
Radio X.
Harry, let's have it.
Okay, for any listeners who missed it last week, I contacted all the disgruntled ex-employees from Little Size Data Team.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite a few of them. And in the absence of maps... We created this.
Paint the town red.
So every week,
normally,
Little Size, you know, does his maps of Britain.
Yeah.
Where he goes to this week's pet town just to give us some, just to flesh it out, give us some facts, some trivia.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, he gives a motto, a motorway, averages, people, pubs and shops. Tells a little bit about populations and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of you don't find it that informative and actually drift off during it and know less than you did at the start.
Yeah, there's a lot of anger during it sometimes.
But that all ended last week. Yeah, there is. That all ended last week when Harry gave us Paint the Town Red. So red, R-E-D, what does it stand for, Harry?
Stands for... Well, I'm just gonna go through...
Just play it in,
in.
Don't show your hand. Yeah.
All right. In Barnstable this week, here it is.
R
is for restaurants, okay? For breakfast, I'd suggest Devon's number one cafe,
okay.
The Boutport Cafe, which is also named as the third most loved local business in the UK at this year's Shop Appy Awards.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's
so, hang on a second. And how many people got involved in the vote?
People with the app, I'm sure.
Yeah, Shop
Appy. And about how do they know it?
I don't know. But anyway, they came third
in
the UK.
They're a good campaign manager, I think.
I don't know about that.
Well, they also do an excellent cream tea, apparently.
Hmm.
If you're after a succulent Chinese meal...
Oh!
Who isn't?
Then M, on Google Reviews, says that the Fulham Chinese restaurant was probably the best Chinese food she had ever had.
Well, it's called Fulham?
Yes.
Wow.
But not with an H, with a double L.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Fulham.
Yeah. Full lamb.
Full lamb, yeah.
Okay.
Alternatively, if you'd prefer an Indian, then I can personally recommend Gurkha's Curry House.
Okay, you're slightly intruding on things I ask the Pet Town caller tomorrow, but carry on.
Well, it's because I had one, you see.
Okay, all right, okay, fair enough.
So I had it, and it was
really
good.
He's got personal knowledge.
Yeah, okay, I had it 2 weeks ago, and it was delicious.
Okay, fair enough.
Other options in the town centre include Lush Bar and Restaurant, Jack's Snacks, and Ali's Alcove.
Nice. Lesh.
What's Ali's Alcove?
It's a Turkish restaurant.
Nice, okay, let's go.
Next up,
E,
which is for entertainment.
What can entertain us, Al?
Well, tonight's hot ticket in Barnstable Town is tribute...
I'm laughing like hysterically, like, it's entertaining!
It is tribute band The Illegal Eagles.
No. Oh,
they are playing at the Queen's Theatre.
When you're doing this, do you know who I feel like? I feel like almost like the dad in Step Brothers. Who's so relieved when the D-man, Derek, is actually not a loser like his son. And he sort of goes, God, you're impressive. You know, he goes, God, you're impressive.
Oh, thanks, John.
When the D-man's talking about helicopter hire, and he goes,
oh.
That's how I feel with Harry. I literally feel like that dad.
So
go on,
proud.
Go on,
thanks, Johnny.
Carry on, Harry. You've just... God, you're impressive.
At £36.50, admission ain't cheap to see the Illegal Eagles, but according to...
It ain't cheap, he said.
Ain't cheap, mate.
Brilliant.
But according to Bournemouth Daily Echo, the British Illegal Eagles deliver the sounds of the American supergroup meticulously, stylishly, and flawlessly.
Fantastic. Some billing.
Yeah. For those that fancy a flutter instead this evening, then Barnstable Social Club has bingo every Thursday. It's £5 for a book, and it's eyes down at 8.
God, it's like Vegas down there.
It's eyes down at 8.
Eyes down at 8.
Tell you what. I can't
good
wait
eight.
For D.
He's good,
if you enjoy...
Except it means the end.
Yeah.
If you enjoy swinging...
Yeah.
A golf club.
Yeah.
Then...
Oh, he right! Turn the paper like a pro! Wait a second. Have you seen someone do that at a wedding?
I might have had a nudge that way in direction.
It just strikes me as someone who's... That's a real sort of dad speech in a best man... The old best man thing. He likes swinging...
A golf club.
Classic.
Then look no further than Top Tracer driving range at Portmore Golf Park. You can smack 24 balls for just £3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Value. For the adrenaline junkies out
value.
There, Air Extreme Indoor Trampoline Park, second mention this week. It has its UV disco jump from 5 p.m. every Friday and Saturday night.
Okay. And there isn't a ban on loose tracksuit bottoms at that place.
No, there That's is right. not.
Just to clear that up.
No, yeah. You can wear loose tracksuit bottoms.
Because there was talk.
It's risky, but yeah, it's not banned.
And for anyone that's after slightly more mature content this weekend, then head to Barnstable's worst-kept secret, Masquerade Lounge.
Masquerade Lounge?
Why is it the worst going on there?
I don't know. That was what they billed it as. That's what they call themselves.
What, adults entertainment?
Worst-kept secret.
But Barnstable's worst-kept secret. Yeah. Hilarious. Look at us laughing and being entertained and really stimulated.
Right.
Brilliant, Liz. It just shows that radio can do that, doesn't
it? Yeah.
And finally,
D
is for, does it have a Domino's?
Okay.
Great question.
Yes! And that is Paint the Town Red.
Wow.
Brilliant. It's just Paint the Town Red.
My God.
With Harry.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now. You get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every single Friday. If you want to get in touch with us with any of your ideas, thoughts, impressions, just bits of advice, whatever, email Johnny at radiox.co.uk. Go crazy.
Radio X.
With UK Export Finance, I'm fulfilling more export orders from around the world with working capital support.
Export insurance means I'll get paid when exporting to challenging markets.
At UK Export Finance, we believe no viable UK export should fail for lack of finance or insurance. Between 2022 and 2023, we provided £6.5 billion of government-backed trade finance to support UK exports. Learn how we could help you win export contracts, fulfil orders, and get paid. Search UK Export Finance today.